Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
CFP reaction, what really happened with Zeke Elliott, Babe Laufenberg, to preview the Commanders. We got the payload at 6:40. The good news is we have RJ Choppy back. The bad news is, under certain circumstances.
Oh, you'll do that right now, huh? You want to get that out of the way?
We don't have to. You make all the calls.
Oh, no. We can do that whatever you want to talk about.
We can go 7:40.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll do it with Neighborhood Watch and New Year's Eve recap. What happened to your right eye? You got a little scratch there.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I don't know. This has just been here. I don't know. It's it pops and comes and goes.
No dog. It's like a scratch.
Nah. It's I think it's just like it's one of those things where I sleep on it. I sometimes stomach sleep, and just a stomach sleeper.
Okay.
It might go away. Maybe not.
Here's my question for you, Sean. Have you ever looked forward less to doing a show that I'm on than the one today?
No.
No.
No, because y'all. Yesterday, I got a reminder of why I hate a lot of Longhorn fans. Ooh, yeah. It was a true reminder.
Jealousy's such a bad look.
Well, because you hopefully the unlikability comparison between the Longhorns and Ryan Day, I don't know which one to pick, but I'm leaning Ryan Day for this weekend. I hope y'all get ducked. I hope they mother duck y'all. I can't wait for Texas to get beat down and get wiped out of this thing. Let's get right to it.
Ready to take the snap. Has the snap. 4th and 13. Ewers looking. Fires. He's got Golden open. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden strikes again. 28 yards on 4th down and 13. And the Longhorns score a touchdown.
Maybe the least amount of pressure ever brought with an outright zero blitz. As Quinn Ewers.
That's a great point.
Right?
They didn't even crack the line of scrimmage.
Holy mackerel.
Just, what are you doing?
I'm like, okay, this is like a 4th down at the end of the game in a prevent. Are you just going to like rush two, or are you going to bring and create some pressure? They tried to bring the pressure. Game tying touchdown on Longhorns Radio as Texas ends up winning an all-time great game. Wow.
Wow is right. It we play to the sticks, man. What are you doing? Get a coverage sack, for crying out loud. You have an undersized defensive line going up against a really talented offensive line, regardless of what the line did at points in the game. How many pros do they have in that line? Three?
Oh, yeah.
Four?
I mean, yeah, they looked like pros the way they were false starting all game.
Right.
So.
But, like, talent-wise, like, yes. they have a lot of 4- and 5-star players on that offensive. That's one of the best lines in the sport. And you got literally zero pressure on a zero blitz. I mean, that's really what the name was. It was zero. You got zero pressure.
A 24-8 lead completely erased in the fourth quarter. Cam Scataboo getting all his glory nationally. And Bobby and Peyton are celebrating as Longhorn fans. Take it away, Bob.
Yeah, look, this is they were not great yesterday. This is actually, you know what this was? This was fitting because this Super Bowl, I believe, was played in Tempe, Arizona. This is Super Bowl 30. This is the Cowboys' last Super Bowl, where Pittsburgh did everything right and completely outplayed Dallas and was better prepared than Dallas. And it didn't matter because Dallas was so much better and so much more talented. They just showed up and they flipped a switch and they won the Super Bowl. And that's what Texas did yesterday. They went 4th and 13. All right, fine. I guess now we'll flip the switch and we'll turn it on and we'll beat you guys and we'll send you back home. And bye-bye, the end. See ya, because that's how talented Texas is.
Yeah, the reason I'm not dreading this so much of Bobby is because I already know deep down how he feels about the Longhorns. He doesn't have all this arrogance and all this cockiness and confidence, which will play out over the rest of the show and tomorrow.
But yeah, I'm picking Ohio State.
Nick Saban at halftime, Choppy, he said Arizona State's playing as well or better than the Longhorns. Texas is just making the more explosive plays. I didn't get that sense.
Well, no, but the
it's like Micah Parsons. You know, just take away all the big plays, and they're pretty even.
Now, Texas was up 14-3,
yeah,
and they had run two offensive plays. Right? They had the two, the first two plays, they scored. They had a 55-yard pass and like a 25-yard pass. They scored. That's seven. And then the punt return. Yeah. So now you're at 14-3, and they had run two offensive plays. So, like, yeah, they did not have to do long, sustained drives to assert their dominance and score. Because, like, you know, we were mid-fourth quarter, and Scataboo had more yards than the Longhorns did. He had more total yards than the Longhorns did.
And vomits, too.
But, yeah, I mean, I didn't notice it, but, you know, that's the coaching, the way coaches see games versus fans.
Did you feel like that in the first half?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I felt like, I didn't feel like it was, like, overwhelming, but I felt like overall Arizona State had played better, probably. Okay. Specifically, then, once you got into the third quarter. This is just, it's a volume thing. Like, look, these are some of the insane numbers that came out of yesterday. Total plays. Texas had 60. Arizona State had 97. Total
field forever, yeah.
Total third and fourth down attempts. Texas had 15. Arizona State had 30 attempts on third and fourth down, which is nuts. Time of possession. Texas 22 minutes and 6 seconds. Arizona State 37 minutes and 54 seconds. It just was this, like Texas wasn't touching the ball. And when they would touch the ball, they would do some dumb things. And they had a dumb kicker. Yesterday, if they would have lost this game, it would have been probably Auburn, Sark, Ewers in that order in terms of who I'm just blaming this game on.
Let's talk about the call and the controversy. The number one storyline from this game was
the suplex.
Getting carried into the end zone, which was also illegal. Third and five, 1:03 left, head-to-head shot. Arizona State player looked to be knocked out, laying straight there on the ground. They go to the review. No targeting called. What do you think, and where do you stand on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line at 877-881-1053?
We got to weigh intent versus reality, too, with this. I mean, it's pretty clear it was helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
But I guess the targeting aspect is, did he lead with his helmet?
Here are the criteria under targeting, the criteria for targeting. You have to have an indicator of it, which would mean either you left your feet, did you crouch and thrust, kind of meaning like you're trying to launch up, striking and lowering the head.
So he didn't thrust, he didn't crouch, he didn't leave his feet. It was head-to-head.
Yeah. The leading with the head is the only one,
right,
I think, that matters here.
And that's the thing. You have to... The NCAA has got to do a better job of, like, okay, well, this is how the rule spelled it. Okay, but what do those specific words mean? Like, what does forcible contact mean? Forcible contact's been a big sentence in this rule lately because it used to be initiate. The line in that rule used to be initiate head-to-head contact or whatever it was. They changed it to... It used to say no player shall target and initiate to the head or make initiate contact to the head or neck area, blah, blah, blah. Now it's and make forcible contact to that. And the reason why they switched that is because they said they wanted more clarity on intent being the issue. Because initiate sounds like that could have just happened. Where they say forcible contact, you are looking to use your helmet to make the play. And I think when you watch that play back, you can say that player is not looking to use his helmet to make the play. He's trying to wrap him up. In the process of that, his head ducks a little bit, but it's not a complete lowering of the crown of the helmet the way the definite... And they've got it spelled out. They've got that spelled out. The crown of the helmet is a 6-inch circle starting from the very top here, and that part of the helmet does not ever get lowered.
Bill Lemonnier, who is rules expert.
Good band.
Right. Says it's a... It was a defenseless player. There was an upwards thrust indicator, forcible contact. It's targeting... The only one that I've seen not call it targeting is Doug Gottlieb. So if you want to die on that hill, Bob.
Here's what this is.
Look, I'll be completely honest about everything. I'll be honest because we'd never like to admit when we're wrong. In the moment, watching it, 1,000% like targeting helmet to helmet in my mind. When the rules come out, I think we all got a little bit of an education. Oh, okay. It's not just strictly helmet to helmet, flag, penalty in college.
Right, because helmet to helmet could be you're allowed like a grace.
Yeah.
You know.
If you take the exact rules, which we should be doing here, and apply that letter of the law to this, you can definitely make the case a flag should not be thrown. If you go back and review the rules, you can say, all right, I get it, that was not targeting. Where I end up on this is Dez catch vibes.
Yeah.
That's what this was for me.
Yeah,
in the moment, like, we all know that's a penalty. Like, that's a penalty. Not that he should be ejected. I didn't care about the ejection.
Nah, he shouldn't have been ejected.
All I cared about was the first down.
Right, that's it.
Arizona State, because of that play, to the common sense, to your eyes, just like the Dez catch, that was a catch. All right, that was a catch. But then when you really break down the letter of the law, it was not a catch. When you break down the letter of this law, in my opinion, fair as F, the most objective person in the Metroplex, you could say it was not targeting, and you could say it was not a flag. I just think from a common sense standpoint, that has to be a flag, right? Arizona State first down. But technically, you could say it's not targeting. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Was it targeting? If this was the second quarter, is it targeting?
I don't know. Then you have the defensive player aspect into this.
But the defensive player is one of the two factors that a lot of times has to be involved.
Right.
Like the rule is spelled out as there's two factors that they look for. And targeting is a different thing when the player's defenseless versus when it's defenseless. A couple of the markers go down, but they still need the launch and they need those sort of things in there. To me, I look at that and I go, there's nothing dirty about the play. There's nothing looking to injure a player on the play. He's got his arms where he's wrapping. He's trying to make a wrap up. It's just
the only problem with this is the leading with the head. And I don't think he totally led with the head. Was there an opportunity for him to get the head up a little bit or get the head out of the way where it wasn't clearly the first thing that made contact? Because it was straight helmet to helmet.
Straight helmet to helmet.
That is a cringe-worthy play where you're watching and you're like, oh my God, that should be lower on the body with the tackle. How much of an opportunity, though, did the defender have with the time and the space in order to go lower?
It happens so fast. That's the thing. I think this is, again, one of those instances where when you have the ability to slow something down and can, like, here's a screenshot from the moment where the helmet's there, it looks so much worse than speed in the moment. It's much quicker than that.
We've seen this called targeting a million times. We've seen it not called. That's the unfortunate thing about this rule is that it's very, very subjective.
The consistency.
There's no consistency in the targeting. Because I've seen far less be called for targeting with ejections.
I didn't have any doubt this was going to get overturned because this is basically the same play they called targeting in the Texas A&M game. It was flagged for targeting, and they went to the replay official, and then they overturned it. Because they said, no, because he didn't, like, there was a helmet contact, but it wasn't these markers. And so I remember thinking at the time in Texas A&M, that's not targeting, but they're going to call this because that's what they call in college football. And then when they went back to the replay official, they turned it over and said, no, because it didn't have these markers.
Pepe, the honest journalist here on the home of the Dallas Cowboys, what did you think?
Targeting, no. It shouldn't have been targeting. Now, what we've seen in past, though, is they throw the flag for targeting, and they review it, and they say, okay, there's no targeting, but there's personal foul helmet to helmet. That's what, in my unbiased opinion, that's what should have happened.
Personal foul.
But I don't think you can review it for targeting and then go, well, let's just call a penalty here for helmet to helmet. They should have called it originally and then gone to review it for targeting.
Yeah, I just thought it was a personal foul.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was a personal foul, which is all that mattered to Arizona State within that moment of the game, is getting the first down with a minute left, game-winning field goal attempt.
Yeah, I don't know what they could have called there. I thought the same thing.
If you do, we need to double check that. If you do review for targeting, can you, like, is that play even personal foul possible? Because when I'm looking up helmet-to-helmet in college, it's saying, no, it's not a definite helmet-to-helmet flag in the college game. And then if you're just reviewing it for targeting, can you add? It's like reviewing a hold, and you're like, okay, we saw someone with an illegal contact. Can you throw that illegal contact? And then you throw in Longhorn fans all day, all night long. Well, that makes up for the OPI on Scataboo. DeMarvion Overshown and others with the long completion, the big shot in the middle of the field said, how is that not targeting? Right. So everything else got thrown into the mix.
Yeah, and so Followell yesterday had, Mark Followell has obviously called college football games. And
well,
His perspective on it was, he said, by the way, if the replay official ever gets a chance to explain the Texas ASU target interview, I would assume they said no launch, no crouch, and upward thrust, no lowering the head. Basically, none of the indicators that we were told in the preseason by college football broadcasters were told in meetings with officials that they're supposed to look for in these rules. So Falwell had said that, essentially, I don't think this meets the criteria based on all the rules, but they've got to come out and explain it. They've got to tell people that because they're awful at explaining these things.
They're trying to be like the NFL. The NFL to explain anything, right? They don't have to. Yeah. College football is trying to be the same thing.
I think in the moment of that game, those broadcasters didn't want to have this be the storyline or controversy. But there it is, an all-time game to remember as the Texas Longhorns move on to face Ohio State, which allowed you to go to bed early with what they did to Oregon. And then, of course, as a result of the tragedy in New Orleans, we are going to get the Sugar Bowl played today at 3 o'clock between Georgia and Notre Dame. Entire squad back together. Good to have that. Good to have you with us as we head you into the weekend as quickly as possible. What really happened with Zeke Elliott leaving the Cowboys again? Inside the Star is next. Cowboys Commanders to finish up the season Sunday, 9 o'clock pregame kickoff at noon right here on this radio station. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, entire squad back together again. But the news that broke that took over the Cowboy headlines, Ezekiel Elliott released. When this first came out, I said, what blow up happened? Why is this happening with a game left? You couldn't just make nice and finish off the regular season. How many meetings did he miss? How many meetings was he late to? But Bobby, the way that this ended up being reported was a favor from Jerry and the Cowboys, where Zeke said, not getting the carries, I'd like to go ahead and get a championship. We kind of heard a similar rumor about Calais Campbell in Miami. Miami's still technically alive without Tua this weekend. But if Miami is going to be eliminated, do the great veteran a favor. Let him go chase a championship with someone else. That's what it sounds like here with Zeke being released. He did not get claimed, and he is now officially a free agent.
Didn't get claimed. Sounds like Zeke's dad owes a lot of people $10,000.
Yeah. Wow. So that's improvement.
No, this is, I think part of it is you're doing the veteran a favor. I think the other part of it is you're doing us a favor by asking to go. Because this didn't work the way they anticipated it would.
Man.
I know what Jerry said after, around the draft and when they brought him back, of just like, man, I saw him at the end there with the Patriots. That looks like a starting running back to me. What he did at the end of the season, I think he still got a little bit of it.
Jim Brown.
A little bit. Yeah, exactly. A little bit of fluff to that one. But I think they thought he'd be better than he was. Not that he'd be as good as they were talking him up, but he'd be better than he was. I think the bigger factor here is they had no idea things would turn in the locker room like it did.
Because, how did it turn?
I think Zeke, it's the old adage, like, you can't go home again. I think Zeke learned that was true. He was gone for a year, and I don't think he...
How could it be that different, though, with the locker room dynamics?
So let's think...
It's 1 year. It's not like it's been 7 years and it's a whole different team.
Right, but like, let's think about what's changed in a year, okay? Offense completely changed. Kellen Moore, coaches who were there for a long time, all those guys are out. You've got Tyron Smith, who was with him the entire time, is gone. Zach Martin is on his way out, not really in the same sort of position of leadership that he's always been in. You've got the fact that Dak Prescott, when he comes back home, Dak is his best buddy. What does he come home to? Oh, Dak's got like a girl
and a kid.
Dak's got a baby now.
Can't be running buddies.
Dak's got a second on the way. I'm still doing the same things I was doing in 2016, where I want to go out. I want to hang out. I want to do things. All these little things had changed socially for him. And I think when he walked into a new locker room where it's like, think about how much turnover there was this offseason. He's walking into a new locker room thinking, all right, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to be thought of and revered the same sort of way I was. And he walks in and he goes, oh no, this is so much more I'm the new guy energy than I ever would have thought. And I think it caused problems for him. And I don't think he always got along with the coaching staff. Clearly he's not showing up to meetings, but I don't think he and Mike McCarthy were on great terms a lot of the time. I don't think he and Jeff Blasco, the running back coach, were on great terms all the time.
the way it was spun initially is that like McCarthy was mad. Someone had told me that McCarthy was mad they didn't sign him earlier, that he was worried Zeke was going to go somewhere else. And then McCarthy was like a really strong advocate. Someone told me that a long, long time ago, he was a Zeke guy and wanted him here. And then it turned into, well, maybe him and Mike aren't clicking amongst right. each other.
I think I could absolutely see Mike McCarthy saying,
did you tell me that? I can't remember.
No, that was not me okay. who said that. I think Mike definitely early on felt like, sure, positive leadership gives us the one of the things the Cowboys felt they really lost when they let Dez go. They didn't miss him so much on the field. They felt like they missed him Monday through Saturday. They felt like they missed juice at practice and that sort of intensity. They felt like it was contagious for a lot of guys and brought levels up for other players at practice. I think they thought, okay, we'll get some of that with Zeke. Zeke will come in here, establish work routines, teach guys work habits, teach guys practice intensity. That'll rub off and it'll be a positive. And I don't think they got that. And I think that was also surprising to them. And it kind of changed things.
When was the last time that we thought of Zeke as like this, oh my God, Michael Irvin in practice here?
No, I mean, Zeke is definitely considered a tone setter, I think.
And has been. Prime, sure. But like, you know, everybody's career, I should say, like, everything changes when you're not the guy anymore for a lot of players.
Yes. That happened to Sean Lee. When Sean Lee got essentially relegated to a reserve role after Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch started playing better, in 2020, he was hands off and he said, I can't be the leader. Not in a pouty way, just like, hey, you guys are the starters. You guys need to, this is your time, step up and be leaders. And it got to a point where they're like, Sean, you got to step up because we don't have leadership right now and this is hurting us.
Zeke's little Zeke pop quiz here.
All right.
Don't look at your computers and cheat. His top game this season in yardage was
38.
61. 64 against Cleveland.
It was against Cleveland. Bobby got that. Choppy got the yards. It was 40. His longest run of the year.
10 yards against Cleveland.
7.5 yards.
11 yards.
11 yards.
11 hey, yards was the longest.
That's more than we would have thought.
We underestimated him.
11-yard run was the longest one. Now, does anyone think that Zeke is going to be this desired piece for another postseason team, another playoff team?
31 other teams said no yesterday, so I mean, like,
and the contract is almost as low as it can get.
Yeah, I mean, it was a $2 million contract, so even if you're talking about paying out 2-3 game checks at that rate, it's not that much. Yeah,
will he be on a playoff roster?
No.
Chop, the favorites that are being thrown out there and mention, in Vegas, it's the Chargers. They're the co-favorites to go ahead and sign them, along with Detroit is being thrown out there, but Bovada threw out those teams.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit, they lost Montgomery, but they still have Gibbs.
Yeah.
But they always had done a two-man. And listen, if there's any line that Zeke could probably managed to get a few yards through, it's that one. I mean, they're going to open things up. But that offense sounds very complex. I don't know you want to be picking up things in the middle of it.
If there is one roster that would pick him up, and they've had good running backs this year, and so I don't know. I mean, it depends on what they think of, if they're going to need any availability or anything else. The one team that would pick him up is Tampa, because that's where Skip Pete is. And Skip Pete is still like a father figure to Ezekiel Elliott and has brought him along. So that would be the one area.
They've done that before with older backs. I mean, they brought Shady in 2020. I mean, they've done that before.
The Saquon decision has been made. Choppy, you need to break the tie in here. Me and Bobby completely disagreed. As the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Sirianni said, nope, Saquon is going to sit the finale. No Eric Dickerson record.
Oh, man. So a range of emotions here for me.
Yeah, we were trying to guess where you would end up on this. I thought I knew, but you're looking 50-50.
All right, so, like, I don't know if I should give, like, Eagles and Sirianni credit here for doing the, like, you know, for, like, hey, look, it's about the playoffs. Let's get it set for the playoffs. Or even hammer them more for how they handled the end of the Cowboy game. Like, why else would he be out there in a 30-point game in the fourth quarter with, like, 5 to go?
To get 2,000.
Yeah, so you're chasing a record. You're chasing something. Well, if you're going to put him out there to get 2,000, why not get him out there to get another 101 yards?
Well, we'd have to go back in that game to figure out when it was out of hand to see how many more yards he needed for 2,000 versus 101 in a game that he just suits up for and gets restarted right. for versus just sitting in street clothes.
To be fair, he might get 101 on two carries against the Giants.
Right. I mean, it could be how the first bad half.
Well, I got to support Nick Sirianni here because he proved me right. Bobby wrong. This was the right call. This is the smart thing to do.
It is. I mean, you do this, you can't. Like you,
because they can't win this thing with Hurts carrying it.
No, I don't believe so.
And Hurts is going to miss, by the way, concussion protocol again.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they do absolutely need him. This is the right team call. But if I'm like, you know, is Saquon on board with this? Like, did he want to step out too?
Right.
Like, I find it hard to believe that. I mean, this is one of those records. There are very few records in the NFL that you know about.
You brought up a Hall of Fame point we didn't even touch on. I thought it was a really interesting point.
I mean, like, this is his literally, I believe, his only chance to get into the Hall.
Mm.
I don't think that he's, because he's too injury prone. Like,
yeah.
Without this record, all he is just an injury prone Jamal Lewis.
Well, yeah, right. You wrote Jamal Lewis.
That's all he is, right? Because Jamal got 2,000 yards too, right, in 1 year. But nobody thinks that Jamal Lewis is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But if Jamal Lewis set the single season rushing record, I mean, like, you know, everything changes. Because like, this is one of the few records that you know about.
Yeah, and I mean, the knowing about the record, Will Chambers brought up a good point on Thursday or Friday, I can't remember, similar to what you just said there, where he asked Bassick, he's like, what's the single season receiving yards record? He's like, and
I don't even know who has it.
And Michael's like, is it Marvin Harrison? He's like, I don't even know. He's like, but that's my point. Like, rushing records, we know because they've just stood up so long over time.
Yeah.
And they're so difficult to attain, especially in this modern NFL. I just feel like if he wants to go get it, if Saquon was fine with sitting and like, hey, I agree, I get banged up, I'm tired, like, let me rest.
Let him rest.
I agree.
Man.
But if Saquon's saying, can you give me a shot to do this against my former team? Then I asked Mike, I said, when Glavin joined you guys in 03 in New York, if Glavin was going for the strikeout record and it was the last series of the year and it was against the Braves, would you guys have let him pitch that? And he's like, yeah, Glavin would have wanted to pitch and we all would have wanted
also
him to pitch.
Also less dangerous. It's not
less dangerous. It's not even close.
Yeah.
But
spin rate, velocity. I think it matters, okay.
But yeah, I mean, if the player's cool with it, then I'm cool with it too. You know, if he's not cool with it, I'm still cool with it because, yeah, I mean, Sirianni's job is not to worry about the player. It's
exactly.
to do what's best for the organization.
Exactly.
And, you know, Nick takes a lot of crap, but I think most people think he did the right thing here.
What a reversal from Sean. Praising Sirianni and Ryan Day in the first half hour. What is this?
Fair as F. Drake May is expected to start for the Patriots against the Bills in a game which will decide the number one pick. But Drake May is going to get put out there.
He's
going to
get out there. And I think there's two things. One.
And Josh Allen's actually going to start because of his consecutive game streak. They're going to put him out there, then get him off the field.
Cal Ripken.
Or Eli Manning of him. Cal Ripken. Look, the Patriots.
Very Cam Ward of him, to, you know, start and quit on his team, bail.
I think this signifies two things. One, the Patriots are clearly saying, we've found our quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? We're keeping Drake. We're not going to go try something new. And secondly, they know that even with Drake started, they're not going to win this game.
well, Buffalo's not going to play their guys.
That's true. But I guess the other part of this is, you know, if you're not going to take a quarterback, your desire to get the number one pick is less.
This is the point to make.
This is also like, you know, do you want the highest, and this is an analytics team building debate, do you want the highest paid non-quarterback in the draft? Because all that is the highest risk factor from a money standpoint on the coin flip.
Are babies and dogs taking up your seat on the plane? And the gift that has made Peyton Phillip Russell an official man. It's Thursday at 6:40. It's the payload next on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 105 through the Fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is a edition of The Payload every Thursday at this time, a new year edition. And guys, new year, new man for Pepe.
Oh,
I've discovered the ultimate.
I thought you found a new man.
No. Newly engaged, by the way. Guys, I've discovered the power of the leaf blower. My fiance Mackenzie bought me one for Christmas, and man, I have never felt so powerful in my life. This thing has two different modes. You just turn it on, everything in front of you parts like the Red Sea. Incredible.
Where's the Red Sea?
Pacific, Atlantic.
It's not even.
It's a religion thing, I know.
It's a religion thing.
Catholic guy. Moses part of the Red Sea.
Yeah. Generally, where's Moses from?
It's a good question.
Oh,
my father-in-law brought his over for me to borrow one day.
Yeah.
And it changed my entire life.
Great, isn't it?
I'll never go. I tried to give it back to him, and I was like, the minute he takes his back, I'm ordering one.
Uh-huh.
I am in love. I'm obsessed. I keep this thing charged. You know, you're lazy with other things. I keep the regular battery, the backup battery charged at all times. Run through your email of what you're just wiping out at the Russell Estate.
So it's not just the leaves that are getting blown out there. It's not. The fire ant beds, blown.
The what?
The fire ant beds. You know, you got little fire ant beds. You can put poison on it, whatever, kick them around.
Do you think that ends the...
No, it doesn't. It just spreads them around.
Creates more beds.
I put it right next to it and just started to see them all them flying around the yard and everything. And then I take it away from it, and they all come back to life, and they're all mad, pissed off. I put it right back on their foreheads. Blown away.
You've created a colony of queens now.
The spider webs in my garage, blown. Yeah. Oh, gone. Yeah. You get those. They don't stand a chance anymore. Those spiders, whatever you want to call them, black widows, gone.
It actually doesn't do that much with the spider
web.
The web still sticks.
The wasp nest by my front door.
Oh.
Blown.
Wow.
Gone. It's over. I don't have to have McKenzie go out there and spray or whatever because, you know, me, I'm allergic or deathly afraid.
You. Yeah.
Exactly. But I do have a problem that I've discovered as well. So I didn't really think about this before I was blowing the leaves around. I don't have like a rake or anything to really, or any gloves to pick up the leaves. So the leaves are currently in the street.
You're fine.
Is that fine? Okay, because
I mean, it's not fine, but I do it.
Is that an HOA violation?
Probably.
Yeah, how many times have you raked the leaves up in the garbage bag?
None, but Luca has started a leaf raking business.
He thought it was baseball. He's like, let's rake. And they're like, and you hand him a different wooden stick.
All he does, he rakes all day. But no, he's going around like door to door. He's making all kinds of money. So he made almost $1,000 over the break.
Oh.
Just raking leaves.
I had a guy walk up to my door, I think it was last week, and he had a leaf blower and a rake in his hand, and I didn't answer the door. But he was obviously looking for money, go door to door. So it's not a bad business if you get accepted, but.
Why didn't you answer?
Because I didn't want the business. I knew what he was asking for. I was like, if I don't want your business, I'm not gonna answer.
I think it's the adult version of like a slingshot. Like you get a slingshot as a kid, and you're like, I'm gonna hit that. I'm gonna fire at this. And I'm gonna nail that. And then the leaf blower is Peyton just going around like making. Yeah. He doesn't even turn on the fan anymore in his living room. He sits on the couch, and aims it up to make the damn thing rotate.
And I think the leaf blower is like the one. Like for me, I've got.
I love it.
It's the one thing where I don't mind if it's electric. I don't want an electric mower. I don't want an electric weed eater.
Yeah, you do hate California.
I want just gas powered, baby. But with a leaf blower, I don't care.
What are the other things you don't want electric besides your car?
Car,
lawnmower,
weed eater.
My lawnmower is electric, by the way.
It's okay. Look, it works.
It charges. It works.
It gets the job done. It gets the job. I just like the feeling. I like to pull that ripcord, baby.
So what else similarly in existence gives you like a feeling of like, this is power, the way like a leaf blower would? Because I remember that it did that for me when I got one of those Zap-It tennis rackets for bugs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The answer is easy. It's a power wash.
Yep.
Oh.
Once you have your first power wash experience... Yeah. I take it to cloth. I'm ripping up my cloth and my chairs in the backyard.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm trying to figure out like the best set. Oh, power washer is amazing.
It's tremendous.
I just watched a commercial where they have like a little mini sink power washer to get that crud out of your sink. And I'm like, I'm ordering that. That might be it right there. The Blast out of grout.
Oh, heck
HTOX5.
No, that's a power washer. I need to get that for my faucet. My faucet does it. It's got like all the calcium buildup.
Yes.
And I can't take it. It's not one of those unscrewable things. So it sucks.
So yeah, the leaf blower, my latest discovery. Maybe the power wash is next because I think I need one of those as well. But that's right. It's a payload every Thursday at this time. Guys, what would you do if you were on a plane and had a stranger's toddler on your lap for the entire flight?
A stranger's toddler on your lap?
Yeah.
Hold my hands.
Overbooked
up.
Flight. They said, hey, we got to fit this toddler on. You
Michael
look like
Jackson
you can handle
song.
It. So this is a 19-year-old girl. She says she was forced to fly home with a baby sitting with her after an overbooked flight incident.
Getting into a teen mom story.
Well, technically 19, she is teen, but yeah. All of this started because she originally had a panic attack because of the overcrowded flight. The airline staff tried to stick her in a hotel for the overbooked flight. She said she didn't want that, didn't feel safe staying at a hotel by herself. So the airline staff said that they could squeeze her back on the flight, the overbooked flight, but her seat would be shared with a toddler. Now, so many questions come to my mind here.
I don't believe this at all.
I don't believe it either.
First off, where are the parents of the toddler? Can they not hold the toddler itself?
No. Oh, I would give my toddler away like fast for like sure. That. I'd raffle her off.
I got to be very careful how I talk about my feelings on generally this timeline that Peyton's just explained. But no, if she didn't have a seat on the flight and it was full, then no, I don't care if there's a parent there to hold the toddler. That's the toddler's seat at that point. Sorry, no, tough.
Well, like so she, wasn't did, your seat. She did have a seat. She got off the flight because of a panic attack. She got back on the flight, got her seat, but they were like, hey, you got to share it now with this toddler.
I don't believe
send
this at all.
Send us the story.
Yeah, I don't believe
this. Is this a couple times you've had to fact check you on these stories? There's no way that the airline said you have to hold someone else's baby.
Did she put this on TikTok? Is that how the story's out there? Or was this like made a complaint and it's being investigated?
I sent the email. I think my story was attached to
yeah,
that,
it's. I mean, the New York Post picked it up.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Where'd they get it from originally?
There's just no way that the airline said you have to hold this baby. You can't put your hands on another child.
Her name is Lily Winward. She's Australian.
Oh.
She was on Etihad Airways. So she was coming back from Athens, and she had a stopover in the United Arab Emirates.
Maybe they got different rules like that. Maybe they're more trusting.
Maybe they do. Maybe they have different rules. Yeah. I doubt this is happening on Delta.
And you American. Got the dogs jumping in seats?
Dude, how about this one? This is a flight where a dog was literally in the person's seat. The flight attendant tells this outraged passenger on a, this is United Airlines. This is not like some, you know, it's not a foreign carrier, it's United Airlines. They get on the plane and they got booted from their seat to accommodate a service dog. This looks like a massive, is it a cane corso, cane corso? Those big giant dogs. It looks like Beethoven, for crying out loud. And they said that you had to move your seat because this dog was too big to fit in the aisle. So imagine getting booted from your aisle. Now you're posted into a middle seat to accommodate a dog. I'm sorry, that's not happening.
Pepe, who's Beethoven?
Well, is it the dog or is it the musical guy?
There you go. Got one. It's the payload for the 6 a.m. Club Thursday edition on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, I got to call a little audible here. I thought I heard this audio Tuesday morning before the show. It was the sports machine guy filling in for Maggie and Perloff.
George Michael?
Yeah, George Michael.
Yeah, that was him. Well, he had a little bit of a take here, and I was like, did he really say that? So I went back this morning, found the audio, was cutting it up a little bit. He was talking about using a bidet for the first time, and he didn't know how to use it, and he used it like this, how he explained here.
I didn't know what a bidet was. I didn't know the word until yesterday. And after the show, I go to my boy Ian's house, my best friend, and he's like, go in the bathroom. I think you're going to like it. So I went in there, and I thought he had like a water fountain for little people or for his kids or something. And so I took a sip, and I thought it had really good water pressure, and I was very impressed. And I came out, and I was telling him how nice the place is and all that. And he asked me if I used the bidet. And I was like, now I don't know what you're talking about. I did take a drink out of your water fountain. I didn't know, man. I had no idea a bidet was a thing. It existed. Don't know why Ian put one in his house. But after finding out what it was used for, you're right, man. We should all shouldn't we all have bidets, Manny? Anyway,
well, yes, we should all have bidets because I mean it's very hygienic in my opinion. Could I get that one more time though? You said you put your face near a toilet and drank out of a water fountain near the toilet?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I thought that the bidet was the water fountain.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, I turned on the bidet and I drank that. Right. I'm not proud of myself whatsoever.
There's no way. This has to be fake,
it's
right?
A lie.
This can't be stupid, right?
This is Sean Levine. He's on the BetQL network.
This is the guy? You know this guy?
I know who this guy is.
You ever done a show with him?
I've not done a show with him. I think I've been on their show because he'll do like, I think he does like BetMGM Tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes because he fills in with them. But
no moron would put their face over a toilet and drink the water.
That's a total lie. Now, I did something that was pretty bad one time. I was walking around the house when I was like 8 and I was like, oh, I'm going to go outside and play. I was like, oh, there's a water bottle here. I'll fill this up. And I'll use this to drink water out of when I got outside. I found out later that water bottle I grabbed.
Cigarette butts.
No, right after my mom had given birth. This is the little squirt bottle that they give you at the hospital so that the ladies can clean themselves after having a baby. And I'd used that and was drinking out of that.
How was it?
It was disgusting.
Why was it just in the backyard?
No, I was like in the bathroom and I saw it on the counter and I was like, oh, there's a water bottle in here. And I went and like rinsed it off and filled it up with water. I was like, oh, one of them left this.
Okay, but does it enter?
There's got to be backsplash to some sort.
That is disgusting.
I have a bidet in my house, but I have never used it.
You still haven't used it?
I have not used it.
Does it have a warmer? Does it warm the water?
Yes. You can control the water temperature, but it's in my the bathroom, the bedroom we designate for the in-laws and my parents. I had to have it just for my dad, but I'm too scared to try it.
Has he always had one? Your dad?
He's had one for years now. He loves it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go to a restroom without it. And everyone who has ever used one swears by it.
I would love it. I need to get that because these baby wipes are bad. They're
and you're bad scared of it, Sean, because of just like the feeling? I don't want to like it.
And I am scared of the feeling.
Just don't tell anyone.
I would turn that water pressure up so high.
I know you would.
Oh baby.
Yes. I just don't know. I can't wrap my butt around it.
But yeah, I've only used the bidet in, I think it was Ireland. It's only been internationally.
Internationally.
They do it here in the States.
I splashed the Red Sea up my butt.
But yeah, so I haven't used the bidet in America yet, but yeah, internationally. Guys, we have one more story here. A woman in New York is suing Arby's because they cut portion sizes, but didn't cut the prices. And I agree with her. Look, these food places, you're asking to go out of business if you're cutting out portions.
All right, so define what the cut is. Are you just noticing the sandwich size? Are you counting the fries?
I don't know how often you have to go to a fast food joint to like realize, okay, are they cutting, they're cutting portion size. You got to be going a lot of times because I can't tell. But over time, yeah, you can tell that, okay, is the Chick-fil-A sandwich getting a little smaller around the edges? You know, are they skimping out on the fries? Are the drinks getting smaller? Are they putting more ice in the drink so you're not getting more drink, more soda? So I agree with it. But yeah, they're calling it greedflation, guys.
Greedflation?
I mean, it literally has a name called shrinkflation. Like, that is a thing that's been, they don't have to rename it. Yeah. That sounds like they didn't know this was a thing. But yeah, this is what companies do. They either increase prices and don't increase the size, or they decrease the size and leave the price the same and hope you don't notice.
All right, are you going to be able to get freed up to watch the Sugar Bowl today? An update on the tragedy that happened in New Orleans, where we are going to be going in a very, very short period of time. And is all the heat officially off of Ryan Day after what they did to the number one seed? College football kegger is next on The Fan.